This is the Reds Hot Stove League.
The Reds are on the radio.
Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by Holy Grail Banks, proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League, Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, JTM, let's create great dishes together, MSA Architects, and by Document Destruction, the official document shredding vendor of the Reds. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by CBTS, a Cincinnati Bell company, technology solutions for business, your tri-state Chevy dealers. Check out Chevy's award-winning lineup only at your tri-state Chevy dealer. The Healthcare Management Group, Greater Care for Greater Cincinnati. Woody's Sander Ford, I-75 at Mitchell Avenue, right in the middle of everywhere. Now, the Reds Hot Stove League on News Radio 700 WLW, the home of the Reds.
Hi again, everybody. Back at Goodyear Ballpark, where the Reds and the Angels have played baseball on this Tuesday afternoon. And the Angels walk off the field a winner by a final score of 9-1, a day in which the Reds had a 1-0 lead until a combination of inability to throw strikes by right-hander Evan Mitchell and the Reds' rather poor defense, limiting, meaning that five runs were scored in the seventh, all five unearned, and then the Angels simply added to it a three-run eighth inning off of Tony Cingrani and a Eric Young Jr. solo home run off of Lewis Coleman in the ninth inning to round out the Angels scoring. The only run the Reds scored came in the fourth inning on the third homer of the spring by Ryan Rayburn, who is trying to make this ball club and provide the team with something they did not have last year, and that's power off the bench. And while he's not hit for much of an average, he's hit for three home runs. Jeff Brantley again is with us for the next almost an hour on this Reds Hot Stove League program. And I guess the thing you take away from this game today is what we saw from Cody Reed.
Yeah, you and I talked about this as we began the ball game, and it's been one of those issues that it's kind of crept up on Cody Reed, and the more times you have difficulty in the first inning, people start to worry about it a little bit. Is this something that's going to follow you throughout your career? Is it something that is a nervous issue or anxiety, or is it just not being loose enough? Is it not being sharp enough? Is it concentration? And I said before the ball game, it's an important start, but it's even more important to go out and establish yourself and put a zero on the board in the first inning, not just for you but for your ball club. And Cody came out, threw the ball awfully well in the first inning, and then he followed it up with 4 2/3 innings after that of really well pitched baseball. I thought he was around the plate a lot. I thought there were a lot of times that he threw changeups and breaking balls, maybe in positions that he would not do that normally in the season. So there's still some working on pitches and those pitch sequences and those types of things, but I thought his demeanor on the mound, I thought his location, and most importantly, results were about as good as they can get.
Now, break down what you saw from Cody Reed last year when he came up, and essentially it was a disaster. And what you're seeing now that would give us and give Reds fans an optimistic viewpoint on what we could see during the season from Cody Reed.
What I like to see from younger pitchers is when things start to go south, when a play is not made on the infield or in the outfield from your defense, or maybe when your location is a little bit off and the other team begins to rally, how you handle that. Do you handle it by raring back and trying to throw the ball as hard as you can and throwing your best breaking ball on every pitch? That's the Cody Reed we saw last year. It seemed like every time the trouble started to brew, he tried to get harder and throw harder and do too much. And I think that got him into trouble, because that, in my mind, is a thrower mentality. What we're starting to see now is a pitcher mentality, which means that you get in trouble, you stay within your game plan, you change speeds, you induce weak contact instead of trying to make the hitter miss every pitch that you throw, and ultimately it shortens your pitch count, you get outs quickly, all of a sudden you're back in the dugout, and you still have your physical strength about you when you go back out for the next inning.
749-7000, 1-800-843-2441, dial us up, and we'll chat Reds baseball for the next hour or so. As we talk on this Tuesday, March 21st, Is he among your five-man rotation when the season begins a week from Monday?
I'm a definite yes.
Let's go to the phones. Columbus, Steve, you have the distinct honor of being, not only do we hope, our first caller, but not our last one. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Just real quick, my favorite number is 13, thanks to Mr. Davey Concepcion. I sure wish they put him in the Hall of Fame.
So do I.
Yeah. Anyway, our family really enjoys Bronson Arroyo, and you've probably covered this, but do you happen to know when he began using his rather unique leg kick?
Oh, wow, that's a good question.
I tell you what, my recollection of him when he came up with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I think he had it then.
Okay.
I'm almost positive when he first joined the Pirates early in this century. I'm almost positive he had that big leg kick when he came out of their minor league system.
The one with the Pirates was not as high what we see now, but I think it's a timing and a balance issue for Bronson, and it has worked to a great advantage for that right-hander for a long time.
Absolutely. He does a great job. Hey, well, thanks, guys, and take care of the new UC head football coach, Luke Chickle. You got a good man there.
He's going to do a fine job. There's no
Absolutely.
Question about that. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thanks again, guys. Take care.
All right, pal. Now, he brought up Bronson Arroyo, and we talked during the course of the broadcast today. There's a very good chance that he will not be ready to open the season only because he has not accumulated enough innings to be able to go out. And if, in fact, he is in the rotation and more, it would appear that once he's ready to go, he's going to be a starter and not a relief pitcher.
Yeah, I think as long as you protect the health of Bronson Arroyo, then you're fine. And granted, at Bronson's age and some of the surgeries that he's had over the last couple of years, I just don't know that it benefits the Reds to try to push the envelope with Bronson, especially with some of the younger pitchers riding some momentum here in spring training. And if you get a guy like Romano or Stevenson or Amir Garrett throwing the ball the way we saw Cody Reed today, I think it's right to ride that momentum of the kids as they head into the season. Let them experience opening day. Give Bronson a chance, whether it's two or three more starts, whether it's in Pensacola, whether it's here in Arizona where it's really warm, to just get to be Bronson Arroyo and get back to 100% or 110% instead of asking Bronson to go out and having length in his arm that might only be four innings. He gets in trouble in the second, and all of a sudden he's having to go all to the wall just to make it through a three-inning stint. And you don't want that for Arroyo. You want him to be your guy that can go out and give you five or six innings each time out, but most importantly, being a voice of reason and pitching in that young locker room.
You know, it was interesting. Brian Price and I talked about this last week. As far as Bronson is concerned, he said, you know, in his case, and it probably would hold true with a lot of other guys trying to come back from what he's come back from, he said, we're more important with how he feels right after he comes out of a game and how he feels the next morning. And so far, everything has been great as far as no physical problems are concerned.
And I think that that's the same thing that you want to monitor and give him the time to recover and let his body get used to that five-day rotation. You're going out, instead of pitching two innings a week from now, he may be pitching four or five innings. And you want to make sure that the recovery is there. You don't want to ask Bronson to go back out because you and I both know Bronson. He's going to take the ball every time he can take the ball, and you don't want him to go out and pitch on less than 100% on that fifth day. You just want to give him some time for his body to get accustomed to the rigors and just the way that five-day rotation works.
You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League. 749-7000 is our local number, and our toll-free number is 1-800-843-2441. We've got Mark and Dave and Jake and Chris and Perry all standing by, and we'll get to them. With the Hot Stove League continuing from Goodyear Ballpark, just a week and a day before the Reds break camp and head to Cincinnati, and we'll be back with more in just a moment. Your opening day dealers are giving away a Tundra double cab at Reds opening day. Register for your chance to win two tickets to the game with a chance to win the Built in the USA Tundra. Now through March 24th, only at your 6th Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky Toyota dealers. I'm Marty Brenneman. He's Jeff Brantley. And we've got a whole host of folks standing by and waiting. We'll get to them in a moment. But first we go to the telephone and to from his home in Wilson, North Carolina. It's been a while since we heard from the old coach. Coach, what the heck is going down?
How you doing? It's good to be on the Hot Oven League with my man, Marty Brennahan.
You doing all right, Coach?
I'm doing good, although I'm in the cars. Can you hear me okay?
Are you with my brother Johnny?
No, I'm with my brother Johnny. We're driving out to Firestone, Arizona.
Where?
Firestone, Arizona.
Good year, Coach.
Good year.
We'll see the last week of spring. Who you got in there? Jeff Burtney?
Yes, we do. Yes, I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, any observations you made about this ball club? I'm sure you've been listening avidly since we began way back in that first broadcast against the Giants.
Listen to every moment I can, and I soak up, on my Google machine on the Internet, so follow them boys that write about them, G. Brent Rosenpants and Blake Shelton.
Well, I follow them. You read them in the on the Internet, I would imagine.
Yeah,
Wilson.
On the Google machine, yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. You know I'm all about pitching and defense, but and I love me some Zach Mozart, but do you foresee Josie Perez and Dilbert Herrera being the double play combination going forward?
Who?
Josie Perez and Dilbert Herrera.
Well, yeah, I think sometime down the road they probably will be the guys that will man the second base shortstop situation. But, you know, Zach Cozart's still here, and he's still a very productive player, and we anticipate that being the case for a while, you know.
Do you think Oreo has a shot?
Who?
Bronson Oreo. Good to see him back.
Oh, yeah, I think Bronson does. We talked about him a moment ago. Weren't you listening, or you and Johnny were talking?
Yeah, we're in the car here talking.
I see. Where are you right now? If you're driving out here, are you out of the state of Carolina? Or?
Oh, yeah, we're in Texas right now.
Oh, you are?
Amarillo.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we just passed Amarillo.
Jeff knows all about it.
Amarillo. I would not spend the night there, Coach. It's got quite the odour, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of cattle in that town.
Well, there's no doubt about it, but we're on the way to see some baseball last week there at spring training.
Well, you better get out of here fast.
It's a good week to be here.
Oh, no question. Hey, one last question. I follow the minor leagues as well. What do you think of this Ismaelic Gillen? And is he any relation to Pete Gillen?
That would be Ishmael Guillen. That's who you're talking about. No, he would not be a relative at all of the former Xavier and University of Virginia coach. No, not Pete Gillen.
All right, boys.
Thank you, Coach.
Great being on the Hot Oven League. I appreciate it, and we'll see you out there by Stone.
Well, listen, yell at us when you get here.
I will do that.
I tell Johnny we said hello.
I will. Johnny Marty Brennahan says hello. Hey, give my best to Tom.
I will. I'll do that when I see him tonight. Thanks, Coach, for calling.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, let's go to the cell phone now. And, Mark, thanks for waiting. You're on the Reds Hot Oven League. He is. I figured that. How about Cincinnati and Dave? Dave, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Can you hear
me? Sure, David.
How you doing, Dave?
Okay, good, thanks. I just had a couple questions, and I'll hang up and listen. I was wondering what you think the chances for Rookie Davis is of making the starting rotation. And then also, I hadn't heard anything about John Moscott in a long time. I was wondering what was going on with him. But thanks for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, David. Thanks very much for your call.
Well, David, in Moscott's situation, he's still hurt, still rehabbing, still trying to make his way back into starting a throwing program. So it's going to be a while before Moscott is able to pitch at any level. As far as Rookie Davis, I think everyone, I'm included, here in spring training has been very impressed not only in how he's handled himself, but the fact that his velocity has gotten better seemingly every time that he's been out there. Now, when you look at Rookie Davis and the fact that he pitched in Double A last year, you're still asking him to make a huge jump. A really big body guy. I mean, he and Sal Romano, you look at their bodies and immediately you think starting pitcher and a guy that could really give you a lot of innings. As far as development goes, I don't know that, Rookie Davis is above a guy like Amir Garrett or Stevenson or even Romano, for that matter, or Cody Reed, who pitched awfully well here today. But I would not be surprised at all if we saw the name Rookie Davis sometime this year in the starting rotation or getting some starts sometime here in 2017. He's thrown that well in spring training.
Thanks for your call, David. Let's go to Liberty, Indiana. And, Jake, you're on the Reds Hot Stove League.
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Good to hear from you, Jake.
Okay. Hey, I just got a couple of real quick questions. I haven't been able to listen, actually hardly at all this spring, but I caught the last two innings of this game today. This is probably an elementary question, but I'm wondering about the catcher situation. And I think Marty mentioned something about Tucker Barnhart might be on the rotation.
Well, now, Tucker Barnhart's a lock. I mean, based on the year he had last year, there's no question about Tucker Barnhart.
Okay, I guess I misunderstood what you said. I was confused. And then,
basically what we talked about, Jake, is the fact that Brian Price kind of intimated, I think, yesterday that there was a chance that Devin Mesoraco would not be ready to open the season. And then the question comes up, behind Tucker Barnhart, who would then be the catcher? That's the way we just – no, Tucker Barnhart's a mortal lock based on the year he had with this club last year. There's no question about his being on this ball club. And if Devin's not ready to play, he'll be the guy who will be behind the plate pretty much every day with a break every now and then until Devin gets back up here.
Right. Okay. Hey, just one last thing. Marty, do you think it's possible that we'll hear you call another playoff game?
I know. That's a good question.
I sure hope so.
I do, too, but I'm not willing to say yes or no to that. I don't know. That's it might be a while.
So what is, like, an honest record, I guess, for the Reds this year?
Call us back next week, and we'll be better equipped to handle that than we are right now.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate
All right.
it.
Hey, thank you, Jake. We are at the bottom of the hour. We still have Perry from Yellow Springs and Tim from downtown Cincinnati waiting, and we'll get to those, and we hope more. When we return on the Reds Hot Stove League from Goodyear, Arizona. Be a part of all the Major League action in 2017 with the Reds Pick 6 plan presented by McDonald's. Pick any six Reds home games, including the Cubs, Indians, Yankees, Red Sox, and receive an exclusive Eric Davis 30-30 dual bobblehead. Plus, you'll save up to 25% off regular tickets and get six free McDonald's extra value meals. Purchase now at reds.com/pick6. With Jeff Brantley, I'm Marty Brenneman, and you're dialed into the Reds Hot Stove League from Goodyear Ballpark in Arizona. We go back to the phones, and in Yellow Springs, Ohio, thanks for waiting. Perry, you're on the air.
And thank you for taking my call. First, I'll report I am a veteran listener since I have been listening since Roger Baker and Dick Bray did the radio broadcasts.
Boy, oh wow. Boy, Perry, you go way back.
way back, and sometimes crash into the wall. But anyway,
okay.
I just want to ask you two to give me your own scouting reports based on what you've seen this spring training about our second baseman and our third baseman. And I would like to hear what you have seen about their hitting, their fielding, their bunting, and their speed. Thank you very much. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thank you, Perry.
Well, Perry, I'm really impressed by what we've seen from Jose Peraza, and I would venture to say that we have seen more from Peraza than what we really or what the Reds really thought that they were going to get. I think he's a superstar in the making. I think he's going to be a very good ball player, and I think what we've seen from Eugenio Suarez here in spring training, he showed some great power. Not just from what we saw last year where it was pull power, but the ability to hit the ball out to right center. And I think when Suarez is on his game that way, when he's staying inside the ball and has the ability to drive the ball the other way with that approach, I think it really helps him at third base in the field because he's not so worried about swinging the bat, and it gives an added bit of confidence. And now that Suarez is, in his mind, dialed in at being a third baseman, I just think he is going to play better. We've seen it this spring. We've seen a confident kid, and you're not going to get a better kid than a Eugenio Suarez.
He's preaching to the choir. I couldn't agree with disagree with anything Jeff said about Jose Peraza at second and about a Eugenio Suarez at third base. Let's go to downtown Cincinnati. And, Tim, yes?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Shobley. What's up, guys? The first question, I got two questions, then I'll hang up. When the season's, is getting started, I watch old Reds games. The last time we won a playoff series, the closer was the Cowboy. I just want to know his range of emotions in game two when he's a closer, gives up a two-run jack, then buckles down, gets the last two outs, saves the game. And then the second thing is, the three spots in the rotation, it's got to be Reed, Stevenson, and Garrett. Then you have Romano and Davis next up. And if Stevenson doesn't work out as a starter, you got to put him as a closer and just let him throw 95, 97. And
walk the ballpark.
Yeah, I know he's got control issues, but, he's turning it around. He looked good this spring. You can't really say any of them has had a bad spring except, maybe Adelman. He hit a double the other day, but that's about it. But thank you, guys. I'll let you talk. See you.
All right. Thanks, Timmy.
Yeah, I've been impressed by some of the young pitchers, and not only from the stuff that we've seen, but just the moxie on the mound and their just refusal to back away from some of the big league hitters. There are a lot of these kids, Garrett, Romano, Barrett Aston is one of those guys. They're not so worried about the names on the back of the jerseys. They just come to be able to pitch. They seem to me like they feel like they belong in the big leagues. And those are the types of players that I want to see on the field. I want guys that are aggressive, that are taking the fight to the other team and not backing away and trying to pitch right here on the edge or maybe trying to just foul everything off. I want guys that come out and play hard, and we're starting to see that with some of this younger group.
All right, now talk about that relief appearance. So you gave up a two-run jack and then settled down to get the two outs.
Eric Karros, we had two outs, and Eric Karros hit a two-run home run out of left field, but we had a three-run lead. And if it had been a different type of situation, I would have pitched Karros totally different. But with a three-run lead, I didn't care if he hit it to the moon. It was only two runs. And those are the kinds of things. That's how I used to pitch. I didn't care. All I wanted to do was end the ball game with us winning the game. And I was not about to walk the guy
right
and bring the tying run to the play.
There you go, Timmy. That's an answer from the guy himself. We've got callers still standing by. Believe me, we'll get to you, but we invite you to dial us up too. 749-7000, 1-800-843-2441. Back with more of your calls and hopefully some intelligent answers on the Reds Hot Stove League. The fast-moving, award-winning Reds Hot Stove League program from Goodyear Ballpark in Goodyear, Arizona. We appreciate all you folks who have taken the time to dial us up tonight. No more an appreciation could we extend than to the guy we've got standing by from the great state, the Volunteer State in Tennessee. Josh, you're on the Hot Stove League.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Marty. I actually have a question for each of you. Marty, with all the years that you've been broadcasting now, I've thought about this question. I've wanted to ask you for a long time. Of all the Reds pitchers you've seen, if it was Game 7 of the World Series and you had to pick one to pitch it, who would it be and why?
That's a very good question. I'd be inclined to probably name a couple of guys. I'd probably name Tom Seaver, who was with the club for 3-plus years. And I tell you, I would probably put Mario Soto in that group. You talk about a great pitcher on some horrifically bad Cincinnati ball clubs. And some of the games that he pitched, he'd lose 2-1 in a complete game and strike out 15. I'd have to think more about it, but those are the two names that immediately come to mind.
Okay, thank you. Jeff, the question I have for you is, oftentimes, you'll see it when a pitcher's being took out of game, he's pitched his guts out and it's the seventh or eighth inning and he's walking off the field and he'll get a standing ovation. And oftentimes, he won't even acknowledge the crowd. He won't tip his cap. Matter of fact, it's more often than not, he doesn't even bring his fingers up to his cap anymore. And I was wondering why that is. And I know it. I understand you're upset because the manager took you out, or you didn't get the last out, or whatever. But why not recognize the ovation that the crowd's giving you?
I think it has a lot more to do with personality than it does to do with being upset about coming out of the ball game. You have to understand, not every player is the type of player that wants all the attention and the rah-rah and jump up in the air and look at me. There are a lot of guys, and more guys than not, that play in the big leagues, that when they come off the mound and they're getting a standing ovation, it is quite the humbling experience. And a lot of them just don't know or don't feel comfortable tipping their hat because it's kind of like look at me situation. So they just kind of acknowledge it with their eyes and they just keep right on going with their head down and into the dugout. I don't think it's ever meant as a disservice to the folks that are cheering for them. I think it just has to do with the personality of the kid that's walking off the mound and he gets a standing ovation and it's a very humbling experience.
Okay. Well, thank you all, and thank you for taking my call.
All right, Josh, thanks for your call. Let's go to Oakley. And, Bert, you're on the Red Sox Stove League.
Hey, Marty. Hey, Cowboy.
How we doing, Bert?
I am so pumped up for the baseball season to start. I certainly hope Bronson makes the squad. I enjoy watching him pitch with his 87-mile-an-hour fastball and throwing that junk up there and baffling the hitters. But what I want to ask both of you, if you could just briefly regale us with your favorite or most memorable or exciting, humorous hit-by-pitch incident. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks.
My most humorous hit-by-pitch incident was getting hit in the ribs of a foul ball off the bat of Roberto Kelly doing a game on television one time with Chris Welsh at Shea Stadium in New York. And I mean, it was a screamer coming back into the television booth, and I knew I couldn't get away from it. So I turned to my left, and the ball hit me in the rib cage, and it took my damn breath away. It hurt so bad. And Chris Welsh was in the floor laughing, and Joe was in the other booth, and he was crying. He was laughing so hard, and he said, "Now you know how it feels. After all these years, now you have an idea." And I had the imprint of the ball, the stitches on my right rib cage, and a great, great bruise. And Roberto Kelly was traded about 4 days after that. So I tell people I had something to do with that because he hit me with the elbow.
I would say my most memorable hit-by-pitch was Benito Santiago. And this has been years and years ago. He was catching in San Diego, and I can remember the at-bat. Couple of pitches that were on the outside corner, and one of them was even off, and he was really diving out over the plate. And so after the first two pitches, it was 0-2, and I decided, all right, well, I'm going to stop him from diving out over the plate. So I threw the ball in, and the ball was really about, I'd say probably wrist, you know, chest high on the inside part of the plate. And as he dove over the plate thinking it was going to be outside, he realized that the ball was going to hit him, and he put up his left arm, and it hit him in the wrist. He went on down to first base, and everybody thought, well, you're trying to knock him down 0-2. When you look back at the tape, it was not even close to him. He's the one that dove into the ball. Well, ultimately, it ended up breaking his left arm, and he was out for the rest of the season, and then it was not even, I guess, probably about 10 days later, we were on the All-Star team together, and my locker was right next to his in the National League locker room. That was played at Wrigley. And looking at that cast on his wrist and him looking at me, not a real good place for us to have our lockers at that moment.
Bert, we appreciate your call. We've still got Dick and Mike and Tom standing by, and we've got time to take them all. And we'll do just that when we continue with the Red Sox Stove League from Arizona. We got about 5 minutes left on this edition of the Red Sox Stove League. We've got five callers still remaining, so we're going to do this rapidly. And don't be long-winded. If you got a question, answer it, and we'll try and answer it rather quickly. First, to Dayton, and Dick, you're on the air.
Hey, Marty. Hey, Jeff.
Come on. What's your question, Dick? We're trying to get through all these
okay,
folks.
Okay, I just wanted to tell you, you know, I'll be listening to you, and I'll listen to the, you know, Fox Sports Radio. You guys are great, and I think we're going to have one heck of a season, buddy.
Well, we hope so, pal. Thanks for your call. I did not know that we were on Fox Sports Radio. Union, Kentucky. Mike, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, guys. We talked about that. You talked about this earlier, but I was curious, who would you say are the top three or four guys most likely to make the fill those last three spots in the rotation?
Well, you've got Romano, you've got Garrett, you've got Reed. You'd like for Arroyo to be in that bunch. I don't know where Arroyo is as far as getting stretched out enough to be able to be ready on opening day. I do believe that Bronson Arroyo will be starting for the Reds this year, and I think that's a great thing. But you've got some young guys there. Stevenson has thrown the ball very well here lately, but I think he's probably bullpen-bound at the moment because of how well Reed and Romano and Amir Garrett have thrown the baseball. And don't sell short on Davis.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. And let's go to Fairfield. Tom, you're on the air.
Marty, Jeff.
Hey, Tom.
You two guys are great.
Thank you. What's your question, Tom? We're trying to get everybody on the air here.
I haven't got a question, but sure miss the left-hander.
Yeah, well, you know what? We think about him every day when the baseball something always happens during the season to make us think of him.
Yes, we do. Right.
Also, what made me think of it, you remember the saying you and him had together, he sure can drive.
Yeah, that's a punchline on a great joke.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, Tom, thanks for checking in with us. Anderson Township, one of my homeboys. Cliff, you're on the air.
Yeah, Marty, I would really like to see if we could, in the newspaper, have the 30-game review of our division. The first 30 games compared to the first 30 games last year, and go on every 30 games after that through the season to be able to compare this year with last year. I know if you're for that, you could get it done. I know it's not in your field, but you can make a move. Now, one more thing. I would like to know, you and Jeff always talk about the outside corner, of which there isn't any, but I know what you mean, or I think I do. It's a ball that's pitched in the belt high, but going down Sycamore instead of Broadway. Is that correct?
if it's good for you, it's good for us, Cliff.
Okay, see what you can do, huh?
Yeah, we'll try that, believe me.
All right.
Thanks for your call, pal. Let's go to Dayton. Joe, you're on the air.
Yeah, what's happening with Nick Travieso?
Shoulder problem.
All spring, Joe.
And he had it last year, and evidently it's not gotten a whole lot better than what it was last year, and they're hoping with some shots, they've given him some cortisone, some anti-inflammatories, hoping that a series of regimens as far as physical work on the shoulder is going to help him a little bit. Because the last thing that you want to do is have surgery on a young kid on his shoulder before his career really even gets kicked off.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to be another Ty Howington?
Oh, no, I don't think so. No, absolutely not.
This kid has got every ingredient that it takes to pitch up here. He's just got to get himself healthy.
Okay, thanks.
Right. We appreciate it. We want to thank everybody who took the time to dial us up tonight and make this hour go by in bang, bang fashion. We invite you one more time. A week from tonight, we'll be back with our final Reds Hot Stove League program before the season opens a week from Monday. Again, our thanks, and we'll be back on the air tomorrow when the Reds play the Cubs tomorrow night, and then the next Hot Stove League next Tuesday night. Thanks for calling, and take care, folks.